Okay. Make sure to keep us on task here. Okay, so good morning, everybody. This is our diehard conference folks here. We are just a couple hours away from the closing session, and you're all still very attentive, so thank you for that. My name is Astrid Wilkie McKellar. I am the outreach coordinator. You all tell me if you can't hear me. Is that better? Thank you. I am the community outreach coordinator for the Northside Hospital Cancer Institute in Atlanta. And joining me today is Venturia Knight, and she is the disparities nurse navigator who will do the second half of this presentation. We have no relationships to disclose. And so before we get started into the presentation, just wanted to touch, just to share with you the working definition that we are using for disparities. Now, we kind of throw the word around a lot, and many times we're focused on, you know, health outcomes or access to care or, you know, looking at race and ethnicity. And for the disparity subcommittee at Northside Hospital, we wanted to make it an all-inclusive definition. So for the pieces and parts that we come across that we felt were representative of the work that we're trying to do, we've just decided to come together and put a rather comprehensive definition that says the differences that occur by gender, race or ethnicity, language, customs and other cultural factors, education or income, disability, and geographic location that affect the presence of disease, health outcomes, and the use of healthcare services or access to care. Ambitious to say the least, but we are working to address as many of these as possible. So just to give you a little background about Northside Hospital, we're a non-academic community-based hospital system in Georgia. We've got three community hospitals, one that's smack dab in the city of Atlanta. For those of you who are not familiar, we have one that's a little bit in the more suburban counties and then one that's a little further out in our rural population. We have over 100 affiliated medical office buildings and outpatient sites throughout the metro Atlanta area. The Cancer Institute, then, where we are housed in community outreach, is a comprehensive cancer program, and it provides a full spectrum of multidisciplinary services, from prevention and education, again, where we're focused all the way through the continuum of care to end-of-life care. So as of January, just last year, 2013, we have pretty much exploded. We've become affiliated with two large private medical oncology practices, and that's resulted in these 32 outpatient infusion sites. We've got an additional 40 locations, and we have a full network of 80 oncology clinical providers. And so with that capacity, we're able, and even prior to 2013, we've been able to diagnose and treat more cases of breast cancer than any other community hospital in Georgia. And just to give you a snapshot of what that looks like, so in 2013, we diagnosed and or initially treated over 1,500 women with breast cancer. And this is just focused on breast. So that gives you an idea. We are doing more in breast than any of the other cancer disease sites, but prostate is up there, lung cancer is up there. So there's a lot going on at Northside. And so these successes, these achievements, has gotten us some accolades and some national recognition. So in 2010, the National Cancer Institute selected Northside to be a community cancer center program, what we've fondly come to refer to it as NCCP. And the goals of NCCP focus on improved quality, the expanded research opportunity, particularly for those communities that are not traditionally incorporated into those types of research studies, and then enhanced access to care. And so through this award, we've been able to establish numerous programs to effectively reach those underserved populations and doing exactly what those goals state. So we're improving access to cancer screening, treatment, and research. After this award, we were also able to expand our community outreach program in general. Not that there wasn't community outreach happening before 2010, but since then, we have really been able to extend our arms. We've become those tendrils into the community, providing access to services and initiatives and programs outside of our walls, where a number of the communities that we're currently working with just didn't have access to before, didn't have the knowledge, didn't have the awareness. So the community outreach department, we do a little bit of internal outreach because that's necessary within our population as well. But also, we are really focused on what's happening outside of our doors. particularly for the community outreach program, we've been able to incorporate the disparities nurse navigator and two community health advocates. And with that added capacity, there's really been an opportunity to develop these targeted programs, this targeted focus to reduce the cancer disparities. So again, just to give you a little bit of a visual of what our service area looks like. The green area is our primary service area. So you see it's quite a number of counties already included in that area. And then, you know, we have the yellow and the blue, that's our secondary and tertiary, where we still have a large number of patients, but the concentration is here. And again, for those of you who are not familiar with Georgia, that just kind of gives you a perspective. So the map on your left is, it just kind of gives you a sense of what our service area looks like compared to the entire state. And you know, interestingly enough, because we've got Atlanta smack dab in the middle of that, our more metropolitan residents, we have about 50% of the entire state population that's in that service area. So when we talk about population growth, we wanted to get a sense of, especially with this affiliation, what is the growth of the population that we are expecting to serve look like? So we looked at census data from 2000, comparing that to recent data in 2013. And as you can see, there's pretty a static percentage of white population from, in that space of time, that 13-year span. Similarly, in the black or Hispanic, the black African-American population, it's pretty consistent around a third of the population. When we look specifically at Hispanic population, it has just about doubled. So, and Atlanta has come to be known as the third largest growing Hispanic population in the nation. So all of that, in addition to that, actually, we just heard a lot about hotspots. So here's some more information about hotspots. One of our very active partners, it's a local affiliate of the national television station Telemundo, has provided us with what they've deemed as the Hispanic hot zones. So interestingly enough, we've got a number of these counties, if not all of them actually, that are within our service area. So we know that we have a large Hispanic population. So outside, we've talked about what's happening within the state. So we wanted to get a sense of what's also happening within our own doors. So when we looked at our Hispanic oncology patients within this 2012 to 2014 time period, the inpatient population, though it's still low, it's still growing. The outpatient population, on the other hand, has just about tripled. So those community outreach efforts, what we're doing outside of our doors, are certainly having an effect. So why the focus on the Hispanic population? And some of you may be aware of this already. So breast cancer is the leading cause of death from cancer among Hispanic women. Yet Hispanic women are less likely than non-Hispanic women to report having had a mammogram within the last 2 years. And when we talk about screening, you know, mammograms are pretty much the most effective method we have right now to detect, for early detection. And if we are looking to reduce some of those disparities in death, particularly in the Hispanic women, we know that the earlier you detect breast cancer, it's the more successful, the more likely you are to extend your long-term survival. So with that, we wanted to take a closer look at what's happening with some of our screening rates in the counties in which we serve. And there's a lot of numbers on this screen, but for your reading pleasure, please just direct your attention to the highlighted areas. So particularly in Gwinnett County, if you take a look at the initially for the Hispanic population for the state of Georgia is just about 9%, and this is data coming from the county rankings and census data. So 9% for the state of Georgia Hispanic population. In Gwinnett County, it's more than double that at 21%. And if you just follow me across that, looking at the percent uninsured, again, it's 25% uninsured in that county versus the 22% for the state of Georgia. And then lastly, when we look at our screening mammograms, the percent of women, eligible women who are receiving mammograms is lower than that for the state at 63% versus 64%. Clayton County, similar. We have about 50% higher percent of Hispanic population in Clayton County than it is for the state of Georgia. And again, following along across, looking at the uninsured, it's 27% in that county versus 22% in the state of Georgia. And in even more of an illustration of the disparity, it's only 54% of eligible women in that county who are actually receiving screening mammograms. I also wanted to just highlight what's happening in Fannin County, and that's one of the more rural counties. So although the percent of the Hispanic population is not very high at all, as compared to the state, it's only at 2%, the access to care is certainly highlighted here in this county. It's a 100% rural, and the percent of women receiving mammograms is only at 59%. So taking all of those factors into account, we wanted to think and talk about what are some of those barriers to screenings that our women, our Hispanic women, are experiencing. So the Community Preventive Services Task Force, I think at this point, after 3 days of, or 4 days of being here, we may all be familiar with that. But these are some of the barriers that have been identified. So the economic, for those women who are either uninsured or underinsured, and out-of-pocket costs are just a significant barrier for those who are looking or even want to get a screening, who know about it, know about the significance of it, but just may not be able to afford it. Cultural is another huge barrier. When we look at language, and maybe it's not likely that someone will take advantage of a service if they are not able to communicate with those who are offering it or even able to understand that the service is being offered. And it may also be a little bit of a taboo subject. The conversation about breast and breast health may not be a natural course of conversation. So this is something that we had to think about. How do we normalize that part of the conversation? And then structural barriers. The distance to a screening site, particularly in the more rural counties, is it likely that you'll take the time to or even have the opportunity to use public transportation or have someone take time off from work to be able to even get to a screening? And then the time of the day. If the screenings are offered during the time in which you are at work, it's not likely that you will decide to opt to take that time off and go to a screening versus making sure that you go to work and are able to take care of your family. So let me just go back a little bit to what we talked about with expanding our community outreach program. And part of that was the community health advocate. So the role of the community health advocate is to really serve as this liaison. These roles provide this comprehensive outreach and education. You know, there's a way to engage the community from within the community, and that really is that person's role or that role of this community health advocate. So serving as the liaison, providing the education in whatever setting that we are allowed and we are invited, we're willing and able to do that. And then also assist with the implementing the culturally appropriate programs where the programs are coming from a standpoint of I understand what you need and I understand the way that you will receive this information. And this person, this role, usually acts in concert with the disparities nurse navigator. So at this point, I will ask Venteria to come up, and she will speak a little bit more about her role and some of the specific strategies that we've employed to address this cancer screening disparities.
Good morning. Can you hear me okay? All right. I'm Venteria Knight, and thank you all for being here again. I hope you're enjoying the conference so far. So the role of the Oncology Nurse Navigator, or ONN, is a registered nurse with extensive knowledge and training in oncology. We're able to provide clinical information and education, answer questions about screening, diagnosis, and treatment, and any side effects that patients may experience. We are able to facilitate communication between the patient and their healthcare team. We can provide access to emotional and psychological support, and including referrals to counseling services and support groups as necessary. We help monitor overall health and treatment by constant contact with our patients, and help identify resources for financial assistance or other community resources. And so one of the resources that we are able to use internally to help patients is with our Oncology Business Operations Department that I work closely with. They, or OBO as we call them, they complement organizational and community-based programs. OBO is able to provide support and assistance for uninsured and underinsured cancer patients or those with a possible cancer diagnosis after screening. They do this by utilizing a variety of services and programs that include Northside Hospital financial assistance, assisting with Medicaid and disability applications, drug copay assistance program, and transportation assistance programs. The staff members for OBO are able to answer questions, explain qualifications for these programs, and guidelines. They provide support, and most importantly, they proactively identify potential resources from initial consultation through the course of treatment. Just last year, OBO was able to provide personalized financial support and assistance to over 2,000 oncology patients. And so what are some of the outreach strategies that we use to address the barriers? So for economic barriers, we are able to deliver free or low-cost health services or products such as screening, mammograms, and diagnostic mammograms, as well as clinical breast exams. For cultural, we are able to educate and equip the target population to increase their knowledge. We educate and inform those who interact with the target population. And we also establish beneficial connections between people and or community organizations to create strong partnerships. And so for some of the structural barriers, we utilize our mobile mammography unit within the community. We educate about the availability of Northside Hospital services and our imaging centers that are throughout the metro Atlanta area. We offer screening at various hours throughout the day and on some weekends. And so how we market our screenings, we do through several avenues. We've used social media. We started with a flyer, and this was our very first flyer. And, you know, light bulb went off, and we got the NCCP, became a part of that program, and started targeting certain populations, we realized that we need to have this information translated in at least Spanish. So we did that. Then another light bulb went off, and we realized that we were killing a bunch of trees and that we could just do a front and back side. Then another light bulb went off, and we realized we really need to make this more visually appealing, and we really need to know people that this service is free. So we wanted to highlight those things and have them be able to see themselves literally being able to get the screenings done that are so needed. So this is the front side of our current flyer, and this is the back side of it in Spanish. And so this slide shows the mammograms provided to date to Hispanic women at Northside Hospital from 2010 to 2013, and these are just through our free programs alone that are funded from grants through Coleman Atlanta, Atlanta 2-Day, and our foundation department. And you see in 2010, we had only 81 women screened through this program, and in 2013, we had 427 women screened through these programs. So with our community education, we want to, you know, really engage the community. We use hands-on models. We have a few breast models that women can use to practice breast self-exams on, and even men. If we're at an event, I'm quick to call a spouse over and say, hey, this is important information. You need to learn this, too. We provide education at community health fairs and events that include cancer awareness events where we discuss risk factors and prevention. Northside Hospital Cancer Institute, free screening information is widely distributed. We go to faith-based organizations, barbershops, beauty salons, the clinics that we partner with. We try to have our information wherever we can put it. Expert breast health educational talks are presented to professional and community groups, and we also provide health education to patients, caregivers, staff, and the community. And so these pictures show some of the events that we are out at. The one here at the top is with one of our partners, the Mexican Consulate. There was a health fair there, and this is one of our partners providing health education to the participants as they were waiting to go further into the health fair. Below is one of our community advocates, Jose, and then we have Mary at the top at one of our other events. So one of the additional events that I talked about is one that was not health specific, but we partnered with Telemundo Atlanta again for an event that they had where they had music, all kind of fun things that didn't have a health component previously, but we were able to provide that this time. We were offering health information and screening information, and there were over 10,000 participants at this event. And then at the top, that's our community health advocates and myself at a breast cancer event. And so our community partners are really important to us. Those relationships range from community attendance at their local events to theirs at ours, and activities to long-term collaborations where we have a role in decision-making process with far-reaching community impact. And so these are just a few of our partners listed, the Latin American Association, Center for Black Women's Wellness, the Hispanic Health Coalition, Mexican Consulate, Brazilian Consulate, CPACS, Spirit Foundation, Atlanta Black Nurses Association, and numerous clinics within the Hispanic communities that we partner with to provide the low-cost, the clinical breast exams because they are required with an order for our free screenings. And so this just kind of demonstrates the growth that we've had in our outreach and education, both internal and external. So you see in 2011 to 2013, we've had an exponential growth in outreach to our community residents. And on your right, you'll see that this is also depicted internally by the number of Hispanic patients that have been referred to OBO, the program that I was talking about earlier. So out of those 2,000 people that we helped with financial assistance, almost 500 of those were Hispanic patients. This is a picture of our lovely mobile mammography unit that we take out in the community to reach people where they are. So how have these strategies really impacted screening disparities for Hispanic women at Northside Hospital? So we all know that the goal of screening is early detection, and, you know, we want to find cancers when they're in their early stages and most curable. The next couple slides will demonstrate how we've grown. So in 2010 and 2011, if you look here, our stage one diagnosis were at about 32 and 38.5%, but it's still significantly less than our non-Hispanic population. And then our stage four diagnosis were at about 16% and at about 8%, and still disproportionate to the non-Hispanic population. And as we continue to 2012 and 2013, we had a slight increase in early stage diagnosis in at 38.9%, but we did go down in late stage diagnosis to just under 2%. And then in 2013, we had a very significant growth of early stage diagnosis at almost 50% of the Hispanic women that were screened had an early stage diagnosis, and we had no women diagnosed with stage four cancer in 2013 that were Hispanic. So we'll take questions at the end. Thank you, and this is our contact information.